We did it. We did it. We stood up for love, equality, and decency. And after this long and drawn out election week, we won. 74 million of us got together against all odds and obstacles and made it happen. He's gone. He's out of there. It wasn't pretty, and he's not going to make this transition easy. But it's good to know we can come together, be of one mind, one cause, and get shit done. Democracy won today. But guess what? This is when the real work starts. Welcome to the Transatlantic Bridge connecting Harlem, USA to Stockholm, Sweden. My name is Jason Diakite, and as always, I'm here with my dear friend and co-host, Chef Marcus Samuelson. And on today's episode of This Moment, we reflect on the 2020 U.S. presidential election results and what this victory means, not just for America, but for all of humanity. Starting in 3, 2, 1. Marcus, my brother, tell me, how are you feeling?
So, Jason, I just want to let you know, I'm in Tennessee. I'm on the road. So my audio here might be a little bouncy. So I apologize for that. I've been through a bunch of elections. I've never felt the level of joy as when Obama was elected in 2008. People just walked to the Apollo. People just walked in Harlem. And I don't think I've ever been as disappointed as 2016. But it's hard even to describe to the mental stepping on your neck feeling that these 4 years have been for all of us, the people of color, the women, the gay, the straight, the white, the non, you know, whatever is other, right? So to see that this would not happen, you know, I mean, it's an unreal feeling.
Just the prospect of it. I think going into it, I was trying to see, you know, not to risk the same disappointment that I felt in 2016, where I figured that, well, no way Trump is going to win. Hillary's definitely, I don't even remember being worried that Trump was going to win, because it felt like such a long shot. It felt so unfathomable, so far from something that was remotely possible, that, you know, I was kind of lulled into that comfort, and then woke up in the morning and, you know, realized that no, it was actually possible. So going into this election cycle, I was like, okay, most likely Trump will take it. You know, most likely he's an incumbent, and usually incumbents win. You know, Trump has set a couple of records here. Now, this is the second time Donald Trump lost a popular vote. I mean, let's not forget, Hillary got 3 million more votes than Trump in 2016. And now what? Biden got about
four million more.
So he lost the popular vote twice, and he's the first one term president since George H. Bush.
I think there is a lot of other things in these numbers too. Let's talk about heroes. Heroes are, who knew that Georgia and Stacey Abrams is really a hero here. She got so many people out there to vote after she was losing her election in 2018. She talk about hero and saying, you know what?
Also closely.
Closely. Yeah, of course. And rigged or whatever. But at least she said, you know what? I'm not going to give up. I'm in there for the long haul. That's a hero in Georgia. Another hero that you might not really show on all the stats, but was like Native Americans in Arizona. The Navajo tribe, 97%, they turned out. 97% went with Biden. And these, there's so many numbers in this.
And people have been giving Latinx voters shit for, you know, because maybe certain segments of this non-monolithic group, you know, in, for example, Florida, may have voted for Donald Trump. But the truth of the matter is that they turned out in record numbers too. And a lot of those voted for Biden.
Well, you could also say that actually this is a situation where both parties had a great election, right? First of all, it's a record amount of people coming out voting, right? In a most difficult way of doing it because of COVID, right? So 74 million on the Democrat side and 70 million on the Republican side. That's the record, right? And then the second part of this is that, you know, as you start looking at America, there the Latinx vote is very different depending on where from the Latin population you come from. And you look at in Miami and Florida, it's mostly Cubano and Venezuela, which has a different mm-hmm. history with communism, et cetera.
Yeah, they were conservative in their home countries, and they're still conservative.
Castro and, you know, very, 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 you know, tough situations in terms of that means. And in Arizona, where you have Mexican, more Mexican and Guatemala heritage and Ecuador and so on. So again, just like black people is not one thing, same thing with Latinx. And we're learning that. The other number that sticks out to me is that 55% still, through all this, 55% of white women voted with Donald Trump.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Let me say, Marcus, one thing I've been thinking about in, you know, following the media closely these past couple of days is that there's something myopic, deeply myopic, and even cynical, and kind of there's a blindness of history and shortness of narrative in how, you know, because now we're talking about this election, the Republicans, of course, mostly soon to be ex-president Trump, talking about, you know, the election is rigged, mail-in ballots is an insecure way of voting, like all these baseless accusations that he's trying to kind of cobble together some form of narrative that the election was stolen. But, and this is, of course, what the news is reporting, but what I don't hear speak of and added to the grand narrative by, for example, journalists is the fact that Republicans have been preparing for this. I mean, we could go back just the past 20 years, but really for as long as the vote has been free, you know, gerrymandering, that is the redistricting of voting districts to proportionately disfavor, you know, BIPOC voters, the closing down of DMVs to make it more difficult to get ID, the stricter, like ever since the Voting Rights Act was overturned in 2015, when it went back to that states can decide what they demand from voters. So, you know, demanding ID from voters in a state like Alabama, where they closed down 17 DMVs, of course, that's going to make it very hard for a lot of Alabama voters to get ID to be able to vote. You know, closing down of polling stations, like this has been going on for a long time. So even, you know, even besides the mail-in vote or the in-person vote, that being the biggest discussion is to me just, it's just really blind.
I take away a couple of things from this, right? One, I would say is that I was completely shocked how there is a normalization, a standardization. If we were gone 4 more years, then it would have been 8 years with Trump. So I already started to see the normalization, standardization of Trump, right? And dealing with media, dealing with Swedish media a lot, where they say like, well, if Joe Biden comes in, taxes are going to be really bad. I said, wait a minute. You all grew up and had the luxury of grew up in a welfare state where you have free, we all had great public school, had access to great public schools, great healthcare, etc. So I was shocked how casually people sitting in the Swedish sofa and judging what America should look like with actually having very little idea of what the culture conversation, the race conversation. But in one way, I was actually glad people said that? Because this was a trap, right? They thought on Wednesday that Trump had won it. So all of Scandinavian media leaned towards Trump because they didn't fully understand how late these votes would be counted, right? You know, then they had to change again once they saw Biden won, right? But those 2 days when you and I did a lot of media back in Sweden, I was shocked. I was stunned by that. And you told me this, my friend Teddy has told me this, and you told me this, and I was like, wow. The other part I want to talk about is that just as much as when Obama won in 2008, it didn't mean that racism went away, right? Just because Trump is gone, it doesn't mean that all these crazy, nonsense, horrible, horrific ideas that he actually standardized and brought to law, a lot of them, and brought to, you know, mainstream media every day, they're still out there. And guess what? 71 million people are actually behind that. So our journey in terms of culture and racism and all of these things, it's not gone because of Donald Trump that doesn't sit in the highest office. And it's very important to understand that.
No, I mean, it's what the Trumpist era has resulted in is a deep wound in the population, a divide that is infected. And that's not going to just heal overnight, especially since, you know, president or not, his rhetoric is not going to lessen. He's still going to take up space in the public room. And he's still got 2.5 more months, lame duck. It's going to be really interesting to follow how that plays out. Like, you know, just mentally on the man too, like the psychological barriers, like which, you know, I at some points it seemed, you know, over the past couple of days, like he's cracking a bit, like there's starting to be some cracks in the facade. And then other times he's, you know, when he, I don't know if you saw the speech that he gave Friday, the 16-minute speech that most major networks stopped airing because it was just too full of untruths, you know, which is also something just norm-shattering.
Yeah, we're used to that now.
In how media treats presidents, right? We're used to that now. So all these things that have normalized in kind of ultra-rapid speed and that's, again, why I find it really cynical with, like, media in other countries, like, for example, Sweden, wanting to weigh, you know, Trump's policies against Biden's policies as if the two candidates in some way are equal and they're just different choices. When I'm like, you cannot disregard the racism. You cannot disregard the sexism. You can't disregard 22,000 lies in 4 years. You just can't disregard the authoritarian leaning. You know, it's not about America first. It's about Trump first. You know, and to be able to disregard all that is really cynical and say, well, let's look at policy.
I try to look at it from two ways. First of all, I can't do this without talking about how sweet it was. Saturday in Harlem. Just that Saturday afternoon.
Weather was nice.
It was, imagine if like the Knicks won the NBA championship and the Yankees won same time.
Even
the Giants won the Super Bowl, right? It was all three. And that happened in every neighborhood across the coast. I mean, it was a carnival, of course, outside the Apollo. It was, people were dancing on the street. Right now, Harlem is like, the only thing that I've seen bigger than this is probably Obama 08. It was a colder day. It wasn't like today. Today's almost like a spring day, and it's a weekend, and everybody's out dancing, young and old. I'll never forget this day. It's a good day in Harlem. It's a good day in America for everybody, for all of us. Do you know what I mean? And it was this level of, which I don't think, I mean, you of course know it, but like, unless you're here, it's like the way, yes, I can breathe. You know what I mean? That's how it felt. You know, like people could breathe again. People could feel like, there was a level of breathing that, you know, it's hard to put your finger on, but what oppression does, but the party, the mood, the dances, all of it was absolutely amazing. And it wasn't anything organized. It was just people pulling up and say, yes, we did this, and so on. And once again, there's a lot of behind the scenes, a lot of Black women, you know, Tamika Malroy, so many people that brought out the vote, you know, so that is one thing. And
Black women turned out in record numbers.
Of course.
But
the sad truth,
we owe this W a lot to them.
Yeah. But there's another sort of like elephant in the room here. What's clear to me also, and it is horrible, Trump would not have lost without COVID. Right. The way he handled that, all those, I mean, if it's that close, right, in those five states that we talk about, the Arizona, and who knew that Georgia would be at play, but, you know, it was still in Wisconsin and Michigan and the Pennsylvanias, you know, if the economy would have kept on going and people over there said, you know, let's not break this. So that swing voter, that's all Corona. And for me, that's a tough, I take the W, but I know, and I have to explain this to my son one day, is that because of Corona, this happened, which means that millions of people have been affected and 240,000 people have died. And that is something that today is not today to really unpack that, but history books will really look at that. What's your thought on that?
Well, I heard the American journalist Alan Nairn speaking about kind of the dramaturgy of how this election went, and he kind of broke it down and first laid the groundwork of what the Republican Party has been doing and intensified over the past decade or two with the surgical race-based targeting and closing polling places and DMVs and stuff. But then he was like, Trump early on in the pandemic told his followers, don't worry about COVID. But he noticed the Democrats saying, just stating the medical fact that, you know, no, COVID can kill you, vote by mail. So he decides to sabotage the USPS, the United States Postal Service, and then goes on to do that pretty fast, too, and putting one of his major donors, Louis DeJoy, in charge. So votes, a lot of votes can't get there on time. And, you know, because the mail is backed up. You know, he's really been he's been pretty openly saying that he's going to sabotage this election, and also beforehand claiming that it's going to be fraudulent, a cheat. So he's not just sowing seeds of doubt. He's planted fucking trees of doubt, and those trees just aren't going to disappear. So in a sense, I mean, if I'm going to be cynical for a minute, you know, also, what hasn't been talked so much about over the past couple of weeks, because all eyes have been on the election, is COVID, you know, and the United States for the past week have had record numbers, over 100,000 new infections per day for several days in a row. You know, COVID is not going to go away. There's some, you know, this virus is going to keep the United States and the world in its grip over winter and midwinter. So in a sense, I'm happy that Biden isn't getting into office until end of January, because hopefully that will be towards the end of the second wave. And I think Trump is in for some real difficult months here, just personally and psychologically, but also, you know, legally, you know, illegally, and still having to
I think we're all in, to be honest, and you mentioned it. It's almost like COVID wasn't in the news for the last 10 days. But when Monday hits around, you're right, the numbers are about 125,000 people a day. And yeah, it goes up.
125 even.
And
okay. Yeah.
Now, Trump, it's all distraction. Let's if he wants to go and play golf in Mar-a-Lago, go. It's okay. Now the adults have to actually step in. And, you know, we need to start listening to the scientists and the Dr. Fauci's of the world. And we need to put a plan together, because I don't think the January we will be over with the second wave, or middle of the second wave. We will be in the middle. We will be in the middle, actually. And it will be, we're in for such a difficult winter here in America, right? Because there is this kind of like euphoria, like, oh, Trump is now gone. You know what? Stay focused on what matters here. Like, he's gone. He's just a bystander. Move him aside. And now, actually, we have to put practice into place, and people have to be disciplined. You know, one of the issue why United States is struggling with this so much. It's obviously poor people don't have access to health care. But also, as people, we are not, we want to go on with our life. We're not as disciplined as other, we're a big country. We're not as disciplined as other countries have been. And this is biting us. And we have to, if we're going to save life, we actually have to, as a nation, do something together. And we haven't been able to do that.
Can I say one thing, Marcus, that I really hope, I mean, remember, like you mentioned earlier, the euphoria that you saw in Harlem yesterday is only kind of comparable to the euphoria that happened in 2008 when Obama got elected. Of course, that was probably even more intense. You remember Obama's first year, 2 years in office, where he tried in all magnanimity to be the reconciliator in chief and try to meet the Republican Party with open arms and tried to compromise and tried to be reasonable, right? And try to kind of bridge the gap of to be truly bipartisan. And what happened? The Tea Party starts. The political life of Donald Trump starts. The Republicans say no, and we're just going to obstruct. We're going to put America actually in second place, and we're going to put the Republican Party's interest in first place. So no, we're not going to play ball. You know, I really hope that the Biden administration, when it comes in, doesn't just forget these past 4 years, and that the not only the 45th president, because he's been open with who he is all along, but all the GOP and the kind of quiet complacency of the GOP still has to be held accountable. I mean, and at the same time, you know, some kind of reconciliation has to happen. So that's really, to me, he's really in for kind of a tightrope walk there, right? Because it's about kind of unifying the nation, but at the same time, not letting the GOP off the hook and say, you know, we remember what you've been doing for 4 years or what you haven't been doing.
I think one thing that is really a good time for Biden is because he is been there so long, so he does have the experience enough to navigate, right? And that's exactly what it's going to be. It's going to be a navigation skill here, right? But I have to say one thing. You know, hard work and good guy and good lady does matter, and characters does matter. When I think about Biden's journey, he was never number one in his class. He was hardworking. But then at a very early age, he lost his wife and lost his daughter, right? Like, and then also later on, he lost his son, Beau. So the amount of grief he's gone through, right? And still at 70 plus, go chasing it and then still getting it very late in life. You know, I think there's something we can all take away from that. Never give up on your dream. Being a good guy matters. And even when he was wrong, he admitted he was wrong the way he dealt with Anita Hill. He was wrong on signing on illegal bills in the mid and early 90s, right? But not shying away from that, like being actually evolved in that, right? So it shows that for me, he was, you know, he raised his kids for a long time as a single parent. You know what I mean? There's a lot there that I think looks more like America, real America, in a way. And then you look at Kamala Harris' journey, right? Being a daughter of immigrants, mother from India, father from Jamaica, you know, work ethic, grinding, going to school in at Howard University, going to school in Montreal, growing up in Oakland. So it really shows your kids and whoever you want to, the young ones, your cousin, whoever you're mentoring, good guy, character matters, hard work matters. This is a good one-two combination story that we can all go back to and hold on to. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I'm just looking at the two incredible.
Yeah, and let's not forget, exactly. The first, we have a Black female and of Indian descent, female vice president in the United States. It's incredible. It's amazing. And that is, to me, you know, showing the best side of the United States. And
but
I love
this
that.
Election
especially,
does that.
Yeah,
this
yeah. Well, not just
exactly
the election, but it's like the United States is unbeatable. I don't know if it was, we were talking about this in the podcast during the spring. You know, it's always the most beautiful the most like amazing and mind-blowing, but also the most terrible, brutal, and awful. It's just that dichotomy of the United States that I love it. You know, I love the fact that you can have a Barack Obama, and then right after that, you get a Donald Trump, and then boom, you get a Kamala Harris. I mean,
that's
just like
my point. The love story we have with America is that it really shows the best of us, what we can do collectively as a country, but it also stares down right the barrel the worst in us. Just like, you know, early 90s when you have Tribe Called Quest and Milli Vanilli, you have both.
Milli Vanilli were European, man. The European contributions to global culture have been really awful, man. And I was going to say, it's also sitting in Europe and looking at that and seeing how Europe kind of is always both in awe and for the past 4 years, maybe also in a little bit in disgust. But, you know, European societies are so segmented and so kind of stratified in class and race, and the structures are so rigid. You know, you take a country like Sweden. Sweden hasn't even had a white female prime minister, you know, let alone, you know, any person with even a dash of color anywhere near that office. And, I obviously understand that Sweden doesn't have the same demographics. But you look at Europe, you look at France, you look at England.
Well, you look at Norway, have had it.
You look at Germany.
Even,
you know,
even all the countries around Sweden.
Yeah, yeah, they've had females. They've had females.
Finland,
but when it comes
Norway,
to,
Denmark have
when it
all
comes
had
to,
it.
When it comes to BIPOC politicians, you know, you have some, absolutely. But you look at, okay, Sweden has a small demographic of like non-European. It's not so small. What is it, 25%, I think.
Well, I was speaking more about on the female side. On the women's side, you know, so does Finland, so does Norway. You know, Norway, Finland,
absolutely.
Denmark
yeah.
have all had women Denmark, as prime yeah. ministers.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
But Jason, I just think for this moment, We got to celebrate. And obviously, yeah, I want to know what did your dad and what did your mother say? Because with last episode, you were, I thought that was a very important thing that you said. Your father is 80, your mother is 79. And you said, is this going to be the last election? What am, you know, and that, I think that really struck with me. Have you had a chance to speak to both of them? What's the mood?
Yes, I have. I've been talking to them daily. They're, you know, my mom is just totally elated. You know, she's born in Scranton.
Yep.
Joe Biden is 1 year younger than she is. You know, he went to the same school that she went to. You know, for her, this W is also, you know, one for her hometown. You know, Scranton made it to the White House. And also, you know, for most kind of, for most people in the world with a humanistic core values,
yes,
you know,
yes,
we knew that this vote was for not Trump, right? So she was just elated. My dad was also, but he was just, he was very happy, you know. His focus was, of course, a lot, you know, he's very impressed with Kamala Harris. Mm-hmm. She's a lawyer.
Sure.
She's a person of color. Those are two things that that my dad that always kind of go in the plus column with my dad, you know. And he also knows the United States, like he knows what it takes for a to get for a person of color to get to where Kamala is or where Obama
and
was or where you are.
So
you know?
Many times she's been the first so yeah, many times. Yeah. So she's an incredible, impressive individual.
It's huge. It's huge, you know. So he was really, really happy. And but of course, as you know, my uncle, diehard Trump supporter, you know, and he's like super upset, you know. And I spoke to my dad today, you know, because in Sweden, it's Father's Day, you know. So this really it was a beautiful moment because I know it happened last year, too, but it's still a new thing for me. You know, my daughter's only two. You know, I called my dad to wish him a happy Father's Day and he wished me a happy Father's Day. And it was
sweet.
It's a beautiful kind of like leveling off where he can a little bit, you know, I'm never going to be on the same level of him as him, obviously. Right. But at least where he can see me as, you know, okay, so now my son is a father too and acknowledge that.
Beautiful.
So on a personal note, that was beautiful. But he did say that he spoke to my uncle and my uncle is like, very, very agitated and angry. And, you know, they'd had a big, huge argument. And he really has taken the Trump pill and swallowed it whole. And there's no, the road back for him looks like from that.
When Uncle's off in a couple of weeks or so, we might get him back on this moment. But for this time, Jason.
Yeah, I have a promise from my dad that he's going to come on the show. Like whenever we want him on the show, he's on.
Well, cool it, Unc. We're going to get there. Alan.
Yeah.
We're going to get to you. Can we have this moment, though? Can we celebrate this right now? Because just as humans, right? And in many weird ways, maybe we in the world needed this Trump moment to make sure that we never, ever, ever go back to this low. I mean, COVID and Trump and dealing with all this, mentally, it's been hard. It's been the roughest year in my life. But to come out of this with this, I'm so happy. And I just want to like, this is like the best candy.
Got
I just want
to savor it.
And then snap out of it and go to work because I don't want to get blindsided on this. We still, as in the world, we're still dealing with COVID and we have to get better as human to human, right? We got to stop looking at each other as brutal enemies.
I mean, it hasn't come to, well, there has been, you know, violence. There has been violence in the streets since, you know, George Floyd. And it's been citizen against citizen, you know, like we saw in Milwaukee, you know. And even though it's not at a point where it's, you know, maybe teetering on the brink of civil war, but there is a this psychological divide, this political divide is a form of psychological warfare that I'm sure, you know, I spoke to my cousins on my mom's side, they all live in Scranton. And that divide, like you're for Biden or you're for Trump, that divide cuts straight through workplaces, neighborhoods, friendship lines, families. And there is going to have to be compromise and understanding
yeah, we have to do better as human beings.
We have to find our way back to
it. You know, it's great to have two parties. It's good to have a push and pull. But, you know, as humans, you know, there are some common goals. We have more in common. You know, we can have different opinions without being enemies. And for me, right now, we need to do deep soul searching. We need to celebrate each other as humans, as Americans, as, you know, when you opted in to be part of this multicultural, multi-ethnic possibility that America is, celebrate that, you know, because we can't just take the good what that brings us and then look at the negative. I love a push and pull and different opinions. This is one of the reasons why I love living in
That's
America.
Dynamic. That's dynamic. That's what makes us grow, too.
Exactly. You know? So we are here and we're sending a message to the world how to solve things peacefully. And I just want to end with the incredible images that I went out and sent a lot of pictures to you yesterday afternoon.
I got some beautiful pictures and footage, man.
And that's what I'm saying. That's what
you put me there.
That's what America is at its core, right? It's celebrating. No one was, it was just young, old, gay, straight, black, white, Jewish, Muslim, whatever you like, this incredible mosaic that is called America was on the streets yesterday. And those are my memories. And, you know, Donald Trump, he loves golfing, go down to Florida and play golf. And then if you love Russia, go to Russia, but leave us alone now. Let us go to work and just solve this in the most peaceful, progressive, best ways, you know?
Marcus, I know that you're in Tennessee right now, right?
In Tennessee,
so that's something. Tennessee,
yeah, of course.
That's something I'm going to. I know you just got there too, so I'm not going to hit you with this already.
But too early.
But tell me about what you're seeing on the streets in Tennessee and Knoxville, so I could get a report from the South.
Next time we talk. It was a lot of flags. There's a lot of Trump signs up, and I just stared out the window, and people are, of course, entitles their opinions. And, you know, being a black man in Tennessee, I'm here now. And I could tell you this, it's not like I have not thought about it, right? Like, it's not like I'm not nervous. You know what I mean? But I'm walking tall and it's just also about, it's like post a big soccer loss, right? You want to be smart about it, right? So it's not, you know, I'm gonna do my work. I'm gonna go home, and that's it. But on this day, I just want to savor that incredible victory between the Harris Biden Harris ticket, and that really shows the best in America. We did this, you know, collectively. The Native Americans, the Latinx, the white progressive, the
diversity,
the black women,
the diversity.
The gay, the straight.
That's what makes the United States unique.
Exactly. So let's just have this week. And
when you walk down the street in Knoxville, you could just sing, take me to another place.
Of course.
Take me to another land. Make me forget all that hurts me. Let me understand your plan.
I love that.
Shout out to Arrested Development. I love that song. What, 1992? It's an anthem. Blast it, man. I know there's been an election. I know, you know, COVID is on the up, but Marcus, happy belated birthday, the big 5-0. Happy birthday, brother. Whoa, you made
it,
man.
Thank you so much. You know, it was with a lot of love and joy. You know, I walked my son to school, which sometimes I don't get to do as often as I like. So I walked him to school, which was beautiful. And then when I came back, two of my dear friends, Jonathan and Mark, sat on my stoop. And I didn't know that. That was a nice surprise. And we just went to have coffee. And then my wife had set up some Zoom that tricked everybody. It's tricked me, not everybody. And then, you know, I just had that. I wanted to do just everyday stuff that is a luxury for me that I don't get a chance to do. So I just want to spend as much time with my family as possible. And then, of course,
What did you eat? What did you eat? What did they? Did you cook?
Did Maya cook? We have our nanny. She's from Peru. She did this ceviche dish that I always order from her because, and she shows me how to do it. One of the reasons why I can do it real well is because Miss Lourdes Lulu, she did. I mean, she does this incredible ceviche, like from starts the night before and gets cooking. But then what was this era of what's going to happen, right? The election was on my mind constantly. But Maya made it happen. We had a great time. And it was just a special day. And I got the biggest birthday gift ever with Biden Harris going straight to the White House. So incredible day. And I will never, the one thing I thought about, the only birthday actually I remember from my father's was actually his 50th birthday. And it was a big deal. He had people from all over the world coming to Gothenburg to celebrate. And it's the only birthday I was like, wow, I am the same age as he was. And I was like 12 or 13 at that time. And I just remember it. It was like English people. There's people from like India, all over, right? Colleagues of his. And it was just one of those things like, wow. Right. I'm an adult now. I've never really felt like an adult,
Yeah. But now you can start calling yourself one.
And I'm also the youngest old man that you know. Yeah.
I was going to say, man, whatever he's got, give me some of that.
Yeah,
too.
You got it. Come on.
You definitely, you're making 50 look really good, brother. Please. Really good, man. You got the spark is there, the youth in expression, movement, and energy is always so strong in you,
Thank
brother.
You.
You know, and all love
Thank
for you,
you,
your family, and man, you made it to the 5-0. You know, that's 20-year-old Marcus and 25-year-old Marcus and 29-year-old Marcus, they're all like cheering, like, hey, we made it, man. We made it.
You know? All right. Peace, brother.
Man.
Love you.
All right, brother.
And enjoy the rest of Father's Day and just, you know.
And like you said, let's savor this W. This W is for win. And Monday, Tuesday, next week, that W turns into work. Catch you soon, bro. Peace.
Peace. How do you feel?
I feel extremely relieved and hopeful and faithful that we return to decency, that we return to integrity, that we have facts over fiction, and then, and so we have some science belief. I want to live in a world where we got good drinking water. We got safe highways. I want to feel safe that somebody has our interest in mind.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy. Hallelujah.
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 Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.